Today I want to talk to you about gossip. And the importance of the message is about reversing gossip. A lot of us think about, oh, I'm trying not to gossip, I'm trying not to gossip, I'm trying not to gossip. But what if I could give you something to do that would help you reverse gossip and actually turn it from what it's intended to be into what it could be? This is interesting, isn't it? Well, I hope it's interesting to you as believers, and maybe somebody who's tuning in is like, no, I'm good. I like gossip. But I hope you don't love gossip. I'm going to talk a little bit about what gossip is and try to qualify some things. So go ahead and turn in your scripture to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. And while you're turning there, I will tell you a story. You know how I like to tell stories. So there were three preachers who went fishing together. Some of you have heard this before, by the way. This is not new. Three preachers went fishing together, and one pastor said, brothers, you know, it's really hard for us. We never really get to talk about stuff that's going on in our lives and, you know, never get to let our hair down. What if each of us just, like, shared something that we struggle with in our lives? And then the confession will do us good, and then we can pray for each other. And they all kind of shook their heads like, yeah, that sounds good. So the pastor started. He says, I hate to admit it, but I have a problem with gambling. And sometimes I sneak out late at night and go to a casino and stay there all night and blow a lot of money. It's a real tough thing for me. And the other pastor's nodding, you know, their heads, yeah, we understand. That could be tough. That could be really tough. So the second pastor said, well, I'm ashamed to admit this, but I have been cheating on my taxes pretty much all my life. I really haven't paid what I owe, and I found ways around things, and you know, I hope they never catch me, but I'm a cheater. I'm a tax cheater. And the other two are nodding their head. So then they look over to the third guy, and he's just sitting there real quiet. And they waited and waited and waited, but he wouldn't budge. And finally they said, look, we're not leaving until you tell us your greatest sin. And so he said, all right. My greatest sin that is I am a terrible gossip, and I can't wait to get off this boat. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. I think we're probably, all of us, too aware of or too familiar with gossip. And I think everybody in the world is. Some have shared more than they've heard, and some have heard more than they've shared. But everybody kind of understands what it is. The problem that we have in the day that we live in is a lot of people think there's it's no big deal. It's just part of life. And in the media, for a lot of them, it's just part of the media. It's what you do. It's the gossip column, the gossip person. That's what they do. Christians don't automatically stop gossiping when they become Christians. Or people don't automatically stop gossiping when they become Christians. In fact, sometimes all they really do is just kind of change their lingo a little bit. You know, it goes from, you know what I heard, to, you know what we need to pray about. Remember there was a comedian, you might be a redneck if. You might be a gossip if you spend more time talking about a need with others than you do talking to God about the need. And by the way, that one, every time I preach this, kind of, you know, because I'm one of those people who when I hear about something, I try to process how to fix it. And sometimes that takes longer, especially when I'm wrong anyway, than it does to sit down and actually talk to God about it. And if I would learn to hand it over to God, I wouldn't think about it at all, which would clutter or unclutter my mind tremendously sometimes. So let's define gossip. According to Webster's Dictionary, gossip is idle talk about people's affairs and one who discusses private affairs or the private affairs of others. So in defining gossip, we can see that it isn't just slander or those kind of things that make something gossip. Sometimes people think, well, it's the truth, and they think that makes it not gossip. No, it can be the truth and still be gossip. The truth that is supposed to be private is supposed to be kept private. And there are some things that people don't need to know about. Our country was founded on the idea of freedom of speech, right? Yeah. And the people's right to know was involved in that. So there are times when people feel like it's their need to know. And most of us have been brought up to tell the truth. We think the truth is important. Need to get the truth out there. Everyone wants to know what's really going on. By the way, that's the funny thing about the news media today. They're always trying to tell you what's really going on. Except they don't know either, and half the time the things they repeat are just that, things that are repeated that aren't true. And then they have to take it back, except for they kind of don't. I'm lamenting, but it does bother me. And I do believe, by the way, that there are times when we need a full accounting. Don't misunderstand. Don't think that I don't know that. More often than we'd like to admit, we don't get a full accounting. And more often than we'd like to admit, it's really not about a full accounting, but it's more about someone's desire to tell something and not so much about people's need to know. Some things are just fun to talk about. I get it, though. I mean, we all have a level of contempt for hypocrites and liars, right? Yeah, we do. It bothers us when people do stuff. But by the way, we all have a level of contempt for hypocrites and liars because most of us have found ourselves struggling with the truth because we don't ever always, shouldn't say ever, sometimes we don't want people to know everything because we're embarrassed because we are hypocrites sometimes. How many of you besides me have ever been a hypocrite? Okay, about half of you. Well, no, it's a struggle. And the news media likes to uncover things about prominent people and then get the word out there so that we all know this stuff, some of which is not helping us a bit. And that's a problem. And sometimes when they uncover things, it gets resounding applause, doesn't it? Oh, you told us something we need to know. Oh, yay, you. And they pat themselves on the back a lot, too. It feels right sometimes to expose the facts, and I think that there's a place for that. So don't, I'm not going to be able to preach it all in one message here today, so don't think that I'm saying the wrong thing here. And after all, the Bible does say that we should expose the works of evil, right? Yes, it does. And that is part of the truth, but sometimes when you take a truth like that and you don't add some other things to it, you end up with part of the truth, which ends up with a half-truth, which we all know can sometimes be turned into a lie quite easily. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works," everybody say works, "of darkness, but rather expose them." We do want to expose evil. I think that's important. But we also want to redeem people. And so, the scripture says in 1 Peter 4:8, love covers a multitude of sins. How many of you ever had your sins covered and you were sure glad someone was helping you out on that? Yeah, me too. Somebody could have blah, 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 blah. And I would have been red, 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 red. But someone was kind. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church." The church in this case, by the way, isn't just like this gathering of believers. We have a tendency to do that. I'm reading a wonderful book right now called Ecclesia. And the church is more than just the thing we do on Sunday morning. It was actually a gathering of people, and Jesus used the word church, ecclesia, instead of synagogue or temple, because he was trying to get the idea of a broader group of people who know what's going on in a community to help govern the community and take care of things that need to be taken care of. So in a lot of cases, gossip does go out to the church, the ecclesia, where it's throughout the community, and everybody's hearing about it. That's what Jesus is talking about. And while this passage isn't gossip only or gossip specific, it has application here. Because what good does it do to spread something around? You have to think about that sometimes. Because sometimes that's the only goal that people have. They just want to spread it. They just want to do as much spreading as possible. And they spread it really well. I think some of them need a tractor and a trailer that throws it to spread it sometimes, what they need. Gossip is limited when we consciously try to limit the number of people involved. And one of the definitions that I found years and years and years ago for gossip, all the way back when I first gave this message, I've still got the handwritten notes. So if you hear something today and you think to yourself, oh, you know, I can show you the handwritten notes. I'm very close to those handwritten notes because I was really good at this back then. I mean, preaching stuff. No, just kidding. But it was a good word the Lord gave to me way back then. And one of the definitions that I found back then was sharing anything about someone when the act of sharing it is not part of the solution to the problem is gossip. There are times when you got stuff you kind of have to share. What are you going to do? You know, but not everybody needs to hear about it. Not every time. In fact, for some people, it's kind of dangerous. We'll talk about that in a moment. And just let me say this. I wrote this all the way back in 86. Who was president back then? Reagan. Yeah. Was there any upheaval back then? Well, I'm sure at the time I thought there was a little upheaval, and there have always been things that were kind of crazy going on. But I don't know that I could have anticipated the level of crazy we're at today. Nevertheless, I said then, and I wrote it down and re-saying it today, on a national level, I don't care as much about what evil leaders have done as much as I do about whether or not they will stop and do what is right. Am I saying crime should go unpunished? No. If sin needs corrective punishment, then that is what is right. But telling the whole world does not always accomplish that goal in the most effective way. Because most of the time when we tell the whole world, it's to cause someone shame, not to cause their change. But let's bring this back down to a place where we live, shall we? I mean, whatever goes on in the national spotlights and what's being said and trying to figure out what's true and what's not true, no matter what's going on there, when we bring it down to where the rubber meets the road, where we really live, we need to realize that most of the problems we personally experience with gossip are not because we have evil leaders or even with people who have offended us. But rather, it's idle talk about people we sometimes barely know. Many times, a close friend will tell another close friend something where they were offended. And then, if we listen to that offense, we can take up that offense. So person A offends person B, and person B comes to us and tells us of that offense. And now we are offended at person A. Yeah. Has it ever happened to you? Maybe more than we even think. I mean, sometimes knowing what that person did, I'm kind of being a little careful when I'm around them and I'm not open to them and I may not be open enough to minister to them, and I may be limited, and And by the way, what's really crazy is person A and B will make up with each other, and me, I won't know that they're okay with each other, but I'm still not okay with person A because I'm carrying something that's not okay because I heard something I probably shouldn't have heard. Is this making sense to you? Yeah, see, this thing about me wanting to talk about gossip today is less about wanting to tell you what you're doing wrong, more about keeping you safe from something that wants to do something wrong to you or through you. We can sometimes have feelings or attitudes toward people that can then be self-fulfilling in the way that we treat them, and they sense that we don't like them very much, and then they don't treat us well, and then there's this thing of bitterness that starts to grow, and bitterness can really be bad. Like, it can wreck your emotional life, it can wreck your spiritual life, and it can even do things to your physical body. Think about that. Have you ever known someone who spent their life being bitter about a lot of things, and they seem like they just got one thing after another all the time wrong with them? Doctors have linked this, scientists have linked these things together. Now, if you need counseling about something someone said or did, and sometimes we need someone to help us sort things out, so I'm not saying you never repeat things at all, but don't just go to your favorite person to talk to, or your favorite best friend kind of person. That's pretty risky. Go first to God. And I'd like to think that we're teaching you in this place how to hear his voice. Wouldn't that be a good idea if that's what you're learning here? Are you learning that here? I'm hoping. That's the goal. And you try to hear God's voice on the situation. But if after hearing God's voice on the situation, you still aren't sure how to handle it, then, you know, find an elder, find a spiritual leader, find someone who doesn't know the person who is a spiritual person. What I'm saying is the person who offended you, find someone who doesn't know that person so that when you talk to them, you're not causing them to have offense toward someone else. And then kind of just get some help. And if the first one doesn't work, then go to 10 more. No, see, that's what we do sometimes, though, don't we? Sometimes we want to talk about what happened because we're hurt. And that hurt is really important to us, so we just need to repeat it over and over again, as if it was going to help to repeat it over and over again. By the way, I believe that when you repeat something over and over again, you just cement it. Like a lot of people, I've taught on this from this pulpit before. No pulpit here, I guess, but from this venue before. Venting is cementing. There is actually evidence out there in the scientific world when you repeat something over and over and over in a form of a complaint, that you cement it in place. A lot of people think if I vent, I'll feel better. I just let this out, and then it'll just get it off my chest. Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. Actually, the more you crab about it, the heavier it gets on you. Now, if you repeat it and then you have someone pray you through it, that's a different thing. By the way, I think it's good sometimes to go to somebody before you go try to straighten out a situation with someone else. I get that. I mean, the scripture, well, we're going to see in a second, but I've made it worse. Anybody besides me ever tried to fix it and you made it worse? Yeah, I have. I've gone, I'm going to them trying to fix it, and I don't realize that they're not going to receive it, and I didn't realize how to say it, and yeah, and I blew it. So, you know, sometimes there are times when we just need to get some help. But again, go to a counselor, not someone who will make you feel good. Someone who agrees with you. Yeah, you really need to let them have it. Well, sometimes you really do need to let them have it, maybe, but you better be sure it's God. Like, I have people say, you know, Jesus got out the whips when it was necessary. Yes, he did. And he was way smarter than me. If I'm going to get out the whips, I better be really sure that I'm doing the right thing. Don't go to someone who will be offended, especially. That's important. Because then it just causes the matter to be repeated by somebody else who's offended, who then repeats it to somebody else who's offended, who repeats it to somebody else who's offended, and there it goes. And by the way, usually my problem is I don't need as much counseling as for what to say as just encouragement to go humbly and have that conversation. And that's a hard thing because sometimes people don't want to have a conversation. But I encourage you to do it because it can be really helpful. A wrong counselor will start choosing sides. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man stirs up dissension and a gossip separates close friends. You know that no church split ever took place without the help of gossips? And honestly, I think very, very few people have left a church in the wrong way. There's a right way to leave. But very few have left a church in a wrong way without gossip being involved. And let me remind you, there are usually two sides to everything, aren't there? Yeah. I mean, sometimes somebody's upset about something and they don't see what's going on. And there's more than meets the eye. And if they just get together and have a little chat, they might see that. And I've never seen any two people who opposed each other were in a dispute with each other where there wasn't some problem on both sides, including my own. Even though I try not to create problems, I do sometimes. I know that just amazes you, like you can't hardly believe that, but it's true. Proverbs 17:4 says, a wicked man listens to evil lips, and a liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. Ouch. So maybe we don't spread gossip, but we don't stop it either. And if that's true, then this scripture indicates that we are, well, wicked liars. Ouch. Sometimes people start telling you stuff, though, and you're just like, don't know what to say. Anybody besides me ever been there? Well, maybe I hear it more than you all because I'm a pastor and I do have people come to me and they go, you won't believe what Sister So-and-so did to me. Usually I say, oh yeah, she does to me all the time. No, don't do that. I missed that one, but okay. Here's the thing. We need to learn to kind of back out of those situations, to stop the listening. I mean, Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into a man's inmost parts. We don't want to get that in us, do we? We don't want it to get a place inside of us. We don't want to let that. It's hard sometimes because they're like choice morsels. What does that mean? That means why? Yeah, you know. I mean, sometimes somebody tells you, so-and-so is like blah, 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 and you're like, yeah, I knew that all the time. I'm glad that you saw that, and it makes me feel better that I'm smart. And all of a sudden, it's just sinking down deep into us, and it's taking root. It'd be really tough. We have to be careful not to swallow that garbage. Yeah. So stop listening. Stop listening. Sometimes we just have to back out. Proverbs 26:20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. By the way, you know, I love the fire metaphor here. What two things do fires need? You know, you have to start with a spark. But then what are the two things that a fire needs? Oxygen and fuel. So if you're not the one gossiping, you may feel like, well, I'm good. Maybe you're the one giving it air. And that keeps that fire going. Even if you don't repeat what you heard, if you give it air, maybe they'll go repeat because you just gave them more air for their fire. And they just keep going and going and going. But maybe if you say, hey, you know, I'm thinking, maybe you ought not to talk about that so much. This is not good for you. Certainly not good for me. So maybe we need to say something like, you know, you're telling me things I probably shouldn't be listening to. Why don't we take this to the Lord? Just stop right there. I know enough. We can pray now. Isn't that a great idea? It really screws things up for somebody who just wants to tell you the juicy stuff. Romans 1, 28 through 30. I want to do a little comparison here. Listen to this. Listen to this and listen for the word gossip in this list. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a depraved mind to do those things that are not proper. People having been filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, and evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Okay, kids, that's in that group too. Okay, just saying. Without understanding, untrustworthy, unfeeling, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, whoa, they not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, a lot of people, again, think gossip's not a big deal. I mean, we have gossip columns in most of the papers. We have gossip, you know, segments in almost every TV program that's on the news. We have all this gossip that floats around, and they just tell this and that, and blah, 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 blah. Did you hear about so-and-so? You know. Sometimes they call it entertainment. There's a TV show called Entertainment Tonight, and it's a lot of gossip about entertainers who, whatever they're doing in their life, won't make a difference for you anyway most of the time. Might make you laugh or shed a tear at a movie, but doesn't have a long effect. So for those who rate sin, let me just point out that gossip is right in there with murders and a whole bunch of other really nasty things that gossip rates right up there, in case you thought maybe gossip wasn't that big a deal. Well, it's just a little gossip. So what's the best approach if I find myself having a hard time keeping my mouth shut or listening? Well, I mentioned one already. As soon as you see it going in a direction that's not really that good, you know, especially if it's a fellow believer, say, you know, I think we should pray about this. What if we prayed about this? You know, don't spare me the gory details. Been there, done that. In fact, I did some of that myself once upon a time. I don't need to be, you know, don't tell me. Let's just pray. Let's go to God in prayer. But here's another thought. What if we fought fire with fire? Fire. What would that look like in the Christian experience? When we gossip, we talk about what the world says someone is. But when we prophesy, we talk about what the Lord says someone is. What? Yeah. When we gossip, we talk about it from an earthly view and what the earth sees. And when we prophesy, we talk about it from God's point of view. And we bring edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification, to build them up. Exhortation, to stir them up in the right way, not in the wrong way. And comfort, some say, to cheer them up. When we prophesy, talking about who God says they are takes them into where they should be, not into where they're going that might not be good. Does this make sense to anybody but me? Yeah. So, anyone who is battling with juicy information about someone needs to realize that if they share that information, they become part of the devil's prophetic team.
Wow.
And the devil is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the one who is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that's always looking to tear up, not to build up. But if we speak the words of God to someone, then we change the subject. And then we create atmospheres. And those atmospheres, when we begin to speak what God sees and what God shows us and what God is saying and what God's word says, and what the truths that we know from God's word in our heart, even if we can't find the exact location. When we speak those things, then we switch the subject to what God is saying. And you know what happens to the enemy? You know what happens to the spirit of gossip? It is terrified. Because the spirit of gossip is looking for an opportunity to tear down. But the spirit of the Lord is looking for an opportunity to destroy the spirit of gossip. So I want to pray for you today. Because we all have to deal with this. I'm not sure how many of us can even turn on the TV safely. You ever think about that? Because you're giving it air. And boy, I mean, just the regular news. I'm a news guy, by the way. I like to watch the news. I'm interested in what's going on. So if I'm not preaching this to anybody else, right here, I'll just do it right here, this guy. But see, just because you're the pastor doesn't mean that. In fact, I know a lot of pastors who get a whole lot more stuff laid on them than the average person. So if you didn't need it, you, bless you. But I need to be careful how I handle stuff. And I think we all do. And I think if we handle it better, if we handle it the best way, then it protects us. It keeps us safe. It gives us really good health spiritually, emotionally, and even physically. So I want to pray for you. Before I end this, someone's going to be watching this later. And it's our habit, for those of you who are maybe watching this later or watching it live stream right now, it's our habit for me to pray and then we shut down the live stream. But I'm praying for you as well. And if you need something, get a hold of our church. Somebody here, because if you're watching live stream, there's a chance that you're a part of our church, but if you're watching live stream or you're watching an edited version later, you may be like pulling this up 5 years from now. Who knows? It'll be out there forever, they say. If you put it on the internet, it's out there forever. Give us a call here at Bethel Defiance, 419-784-5433. 419-784-LIFE. And someone will get back to you. And we can pray with you. We can help you. We can encourage you. And I say we. I mean, there are lots of people here who can do this. We like to help people become what God called them to be the one who's able to do the ministry. And that's what I want for each of you. So I'm going to pray over you that you will become more prophetic and less receptive to what the enemy would want to do in having you hear things that you don't need to hear. So, Father, thank you for enabling us to hear your voice and to speak what you want to speak and to do what you want to do. And we just ask you to let your spirit move among us individually everywhere we go, while we're here, yes, but even when we're out among the people. May you find us, Lord, ministering and breaking anything that's coming from the enemy, any gossip, any tales that are being born that don't need to be born anymore, carried by people who don't need to carry them. And let us instead fill them up and fill ourselves up with your word. so that people's lives will be adjusted and fixed, and that they won't be carrying that stuff anymore. In Jesus' name, amen.